while I search the place, just to prove there's no monkey business going on. What's your take on Holland? A burnout, I'd say. He's been at it too long. I grabbed my own coat and hat. You know, nobody has taken blood samples from the back of the caboose or photographed what we assume is the crime scene. Nothing. He moved past me toward the group of sheriffs who had just come in. I suppose they figure they can just wait till the train gets back to Cheyenne and then let the state crime lab go over it. He pulled up a chair and sat at the sheriff's table, and I muttered to myself, an outdoor crime scene traveling over 600 miles at 60 miles an hour through inclement weather, brother. Slipping my jacket on, I lodged my hat on my head again and walked past the group of sheriffs who quieted when I approached. I tipped my hat. Gentlemen. There wasn't a lot of traffic in the passageways, most of the revelers having decided to sleep in, I supposed. When I got to our cabin, I could see that the door next to ours was propped open. Miss Leclerc? Her voice sounded from inside.
Present.
I peeked in and found her lying on the lower bunk in pajamas and a robe. Planning on a nap?
Just plain going back to bed. Care to join me?
Not for the first time, I felt a little uncomfortable in her presence. I'm afraid I've got work to do. She shrugged.
You mind if I ask you a question?
Shoot.
You seem sad.
I nodded. Personal problems.
With that blonde I saw with you on the platform back in Cheyenne?
That would be the one. We're married, or were. She glanced out the window and bit a fingernail in a provocative manner.
Hell, that's no big deal. I've been married 3 times.
She's having my child.
Oh. How far along?
About 4 months. She came to visit me in Alaska, and things seemed really good then.
Maybe things will be good again.
I'm beginning to doubt it. I took a deep breath and sighed it out. So, where's George's case?
Upper bunk.
I flipped the latches on the Samsonite. For the moment, I ignored the pink set. I pulled the bag closer to get a clearer view, and was in the act of sifting through George McKay's belongings when I felt a tug at my jeans. I looked down to find Kim Leclerc had unzipped my pants and now had a hand inside. She was looking up at me from crotch height with a lascivious smile.
You don't mind if I check out a few things myself, do you?
I was about to disengage her from my nether parts when I heard a noise at the doorway. I turned in time to see a familiar blonde standing there, taking in the tableau. Chapter 9. Let me explain. She said nothing, only looked at me with those big hazel eyes, her hands neatly folded on the table. She's a nurse for the state, and I needed to have an examination, and I was just turning my head to cough when you showed up. She smiled faintly and turned her coffee cup in her saucer. She works for the railroad and was looking for contraband? She smiled again, a little broader this time. Actually, she's a singer from Casper with an overly active libido. She gazed out the window of the dining car, but the smile held. I played piano last night and she joined in, and evidently she thought there was a stronger bond between us than I did. I reached out and took her hands in mine. They were warm and soft. I've missed you. She took her hands back and sipped her lukewarm coffee, grimaced, and returned it to the saucer with a soft clip of china.
It's only been a night, but evidently you've kept busy.
You don't believe my story?
Which one?
She shook her head and a lock of hair fell across one eye, like always.
Actually, I do. You're so inept with women that I find it hard to believe that you could have possibly initiated that encounter.
It's true. I grinned and then took a sip of my own coffee just to give the talk a little air. She glanced around to make sure we were out of earshot.
Walt, it might be none of my business, but what's happening on this train?
Nothing. I sighed. Really?
She continued to look at me, and I leaned in. One of the sheriffs was killed, Martha. Her eyes widened. I looked at the surface of the table and the spotless white linen. His name was Marv Leland. He was from Uinta County, and he had a theory that there was a group of sheriffs within the association that might have been swapping murders, and now he's dead, which may or may not prove him right. Hoping to change the subject, I fingered my silverware, sipped a little more of my coffee, and studied her. You know, I'm having a hard time remembering what we fought about back in Cheyenne. Your future, among other things. I took a quick breath and set my cup back down, getting the feeling that I was surrounded by landmines. Oh, yeah. Go back to school, Walt. Use the GI Bill and get a master's and go teach at some college somewhere. A few sheriffs finished up their breakfasts and ambled out, giving Martha the once-over as they passed. Feeling a heat come into my face, I looked up at them. Can I help you, fellas? They looked away, and I tried to settle myself. I think I'm through with classrooms. And if I am as a student, then I certainly shouldn't be there as a teacher. She glanced up as another group passed, and Wally Finley tipped a hat to her. She gave a tight smile in return, finally looking back at me. You're a really good teacher, Walt. I'm a really good cop. The eyes flared a bit. You're really good at whatever you want to do. I want to continue to be your husband. We both sat there in the silence. Look, things moved pretty fast up there in Alaska. I wasn't even sure I wanted to get married. We are having a baby. I could see Gibbs glancing our way from farther down the car to see if we needed a refill, but I waved him off. You act like you and the baby won't make me happy. What about what will make me happy, Walt? I reached into my jeans and pulled out the tiny antique piece of jewelry. Look, don't do this again. She stared at the ring like I was pointing a gun at her. Not again, not here, and not now. I looked at the promise in my hand and felt like I was floating. You want to know what I learned in Vietnam? I learned that if you're lucky, I mean really lucky, you find the one thing you want in life and then you go after it. You give up everything else because all the rest of that stuff really doesn't matter. Walt, a little extra moisture appeared in her eyes, giving them that glow that killed me. Please. I saw Henry Standing Bear's car out there on the street, and I couldn't believe it was you. I glanced at the flurries galloping by the window, their speed multiplied by the velocity of the train. Call it simplistic, maybe, but I know what I want now. You and me and Henry, we all grew up together. But a lot of the times it doesn't have a fairy tale ending. All those years in Vietnam apart when I sat here waiting for you. Walter, it happened way too fast in Alaska. Maybe we're not supposed to be together. Maybe we're not meant for each other.
I don't believe that. I pushed back my chair and kneeled beside the table.
Oh, God. Please don't. I think I'm going to be sick.
Kneeling there with the ring in my hand, I sighed. Well, that would certainly rob the moment of the romance I'd intended. I cleared my throat, hoping I'd find my voice there. Will you stay married to me? There was a long pause before she finally spoke.
No.
No? I chewed the inside of my cheek. I'm afraid that we'll be living quiet lives of regret and desperation, and I just can't face that, not now, not with the baby. She stared at her lap and pulled her hair back out of the way. You say you've learned things over the last few years. Well, I've learned a few things, too.
And that's why you drove all night to meet me here?
Her eyes came up. I went to Denver because Henry asked me to pick him up at the airport. He's the one who said we should head west and catch you so that you and I could talk. He's meeting me at the train station in Evanston so that you and I can have a few hours. Maybe I should marry him.
Maybe you should.
I stood and sat back in my chair and tossed the ring onto an empty plate, where it rattled and stilled. We moved to the observation car, where we had the open vista of the high plains to ourselves. I supposed the other sheriffs and their guests weren't interested in the topography between Rock Springs and Evanston.
We aren't talking.
I glanced over at her. I didn't figure there was much more to say.
Tell me about this case.
That's the last thing I want to talk about. She settled into the lounger and crossed her arms.
Well, we've got almost 2 hours to fill.
I can think of other things we could do.
No.
Just for old time's sake? She looked out the windows at the rapidly traveling clouds. It was midday, and all I could think was that she probably wished she was somewhere, anywhere else but here.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
We sat there in silence for a while, both of us thinking about what might come next. I don't know, Martha. Maybe I've changed. I never thought I grew up in a sheltered environment. She smiled but said nothing. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but I've seen a lot of things since I've been gone, and not all of them positive. I hesitated a bit. Nothing specific that I want to talk about, but I always thought that people were good down deep.
And now you don't?
I took a breath, feeling more like crawling under the moving train than continuing the conversation I had started. Not as much. She glanced around to make sure none of the sheriffs had wandered in.
And you think this job will help you to recover your faith in humanity?
No, not at all. But maybe I can help even the score. I waited a moment and then continued with what sounded even to me like a rationalization. I was able to do some good in all those places. I guess at a cost, but I think the final results were worth the price. She reached out and ran her smooth, warm fingers over the scars on my hand.
Worth it to you?
To me.
Then maybe this is something you should do.
It is. We both turned to find Lucian Connolly standing in the aisleway. I hope I'm not interrupting. He extended a hand and even went so far as to take off his hat. Hello, missy. Martha looked at the hand, the way I'd guess Eve had regarded reptiles, but finally took it.
Sheriff.
What are you two lovebirds doing here?
Just talking. He pulled out the chair beside her and sat on the back.
You're Jack and Mildred Pearson's girl, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I watched him flipping the Rolodex in his head, tracking through her family history in those few brief seconds.
I've noticed you. Hard to miss a pretty young gal such as yourself.
She maintained eye contact with him, and I was proud of her.
I was just waiting around to see if you were going to make a mistake by not staying married to this lunkhead here.
She started to stand.
I don't think that's any of your business.
He slipped his hat back on and stared at her.
Oh, yes, it is. You see, I think that fellow there has all the makings to be one of the finest lawmen to ever grace the great state of Wyoming. Right now, Absaroka County is mine, but someday I'm going to want to hand it off to somebody that's worthy. In the meantime, I need steady, decent, focused deputies, and Missy, from experience, I've learned that married men fit the bill much better.
Her mouth hung open in surprise, until she finally began shaking her head.
You think I should stay with Walter for the betterment of your department?
Well, that would work for me, but I doubt it's a good enough reason for you.
And what should my own reason be, in your opinion?
I've got a feeling he's one of the finest men I've ever met.
She smiled at him. He's only been on your staff for a couple of weeks.
Oh, I've had my eye on him a long time.
Have you now?
Young lady, I'm beginning to think you might not like me all that much.
She continued, studying him.
You might be right. But more important,
I don't think what you do for a living is good enough for him.
The sheriff just smiled. Good enough?
Yes.
He looked away and wet his lips with a quick flick of his tongue. Ma'am, with all due respect, I deal with life and death every day, and the stakes don't get any higher than that. He held his gaze on the snow-covered prairie as it sped by. Now, you may be right about Walter here being able to do or be anything he wants, but if you're thinking there's something else he could do that would make more of a difference in his lifetime, then I'm going to have to rein you up short. He glanced at me. She said nothing. There's only one higher calling than the law, and he already did 2 tours of that one. He turned and started toward the door. I did a few tours myself. He tapped my shoulder as he passed, and I wondered if he'd done me more damage than good. John Schaefer, Albany County, is looking for you. Probably wants you to go with him when he visits his bedbug of a brother in the loony bin in Evanston. He turned and looked at me. Just go, every new guy does it. Then he looked at Martha. Think of it as your swan song to law enforcement. He studied me. It's not like he's asking you to go visit Annie Welsh or anything. Before I could ask who Annie Welsh was, Martha, in a voice with a little more than an edge to it, interrupted, I suppose you're used to people doing what you tell them? He studied her and then tipped his hat. Yes, ma'am, I am. Judge Snowden bit into his sandwich. It was a warm fall day and we had decided to picnic. They've got me in this apartment about a block from here with a mini refrigerator, so I bought some cold cuts and started making my own lunches. He tipped his light-colored hat back on his head. Problem is, I can't make a sandwich to save my ass. He looked up at me as he picked at a wilted shred of lettuce. Do you suppose the very last produce trucks in America end up at the grocery stores in Wyoming? Even though the Californian made fun of my state, I liked the guy. It's possible. I glanced at the cottonwood trees surrounding the plaza. It had been a warm fall, even down here in Cheyenne, and the leaves on the cottonwoods were still a brilliant yellow. You're out of the case now? So it would appear. Judges pale in comparison to governors. But you're off it? Figuratively. I'm waiting until your governor or his wife holds another press conference. Figuratively enough to advise me on what to do? Oh, I'm always available for advice. There's just usually a consultation fee. I stared at him and he finally smiled, and not for the first time I thought that he was an exceedingly smart man. Just kidding. Then, what should I do? He dropped the remains of his unsatisfactory sandwich into a brown paper bag and wiped the corner of his mouth with a folded paper towel. The hardest thing in the world. Nothing. The wheels of justice grind slow, but exceedingly fine. He deposited the makeshift napkin in the sack. Anyway, from the information I've gleaned from the medical advisory board, he'll be dead before he ever sees the light of day. So, wait it out? He bit his lip. Or risk looking like a vindictive prick in the papers. Is that a legal term in California? It ought to be. We have enough of them. He brushed off a few crumbs from his jeans, straightened his tie, and, shooting the cuffs of his shirt under his blazer, looked around for a wastebasket. We walked over to one of those green wire trash containers. You don't strike me as a type to back down. He turned and slam-dunked the garbage into the receptacle. But you also don't strike me as the kind who goes looking for a fight. Maybe I was a couple of decades ago, but I'm not so sure I've got the energy for it anymore. I shook my head as we walked back toward the Capitol building. You ever have a case like this before? I live in Napa. The closest I've ever been to something like this is disputes between wine growers, not that they can't be a ruthless lot. Nobody wins. He stopped and looked at me. Pick your battle, Sheriff. He patted my shoulder and directed my attention to a black SUV sitting at the curb with the Bobs standing by the doors. You may not always win the war, Walt, but it's good to know you fought the battle. He turned and continued toward the Capitol building. I walked to the Bobs with my hands raised. No need to shoot, boys. I'll go peaceable. Robert made a gun out of his hand, holding a forefinger on me as Bob went around to the driver's side. Come on, we're taking you for a ride. Proverbial? Bob opened the door. No, it's a Suburban. The black leather seats were configured across from each other, and I climbed in and sat so that I faced the two men occupying the back. No fair, two on one. Joe Mayer, Katie's landlord, and the Attorney General smiled at the other man. Yeah, four if you count the Bobs. As we pulled out, I put on my seatbelt, slipped off my Ray-Bans, hanging them in my shirt pocket, and looked at the formidable man in the dark suit and bright yellow tie across from me. Governor Fisk. He reached a hand out. Call me Wally. Walt. We shook. Where are we headed, Wally? Someplace where we won't get interrupted. Joe and I made small talk as we swung up Business 25, past the airport and Sloan Lake, then took a left, heading into the Frontier Days rodeo grounds at the north end of town. Evidently they were expecting us. The gates were open, and the security detail waved the Bobs through into the main arena. DeLude swung the Suburban around as Hall threw an arm over the seat. You want us to do a few donuts? Good dirt for it. Joe, more knowledgeable of the Bobs' driving predilections than the governor, suppressed a smile. That's okay, Bob. Just stop here. Fisk unbuckled and opened the door for himself. He leaned forward. Take a walk with me, Walt. I glanced at Joe as I climbed out after the governor and closed the door behind us, watching as the SUV pulled away. Does this mean we have to walk back? He half smiled, kneeled down and picked up a handful of soil, crumbling the earth between his fingers. You ever rodeo? Nope. Grew up on a working ranch and never saw the attraction. He stood up. I used to do some rough stock riding. You look it. He smiled, patting a bit of his stomach. Well, back in the day. He took a few steps toward the chutes. Never anything this extravagant. I studied the massive grandstand, a little surreal without the thousands of people filling it. Got a box around here? He pointed. I sit right there, among the people. He turned back towards me. Real easy to get on your high horse these days. I towed the real estate with my boot. Is it? He studied me for a moment, then dropped the rest of the dirt and sniffed his hand. I wonder how much blood, sweat, and tears I sifted through my fingers just now. I don't know, but I'm betting there might have been a little bullshit mixed in there as well. To his credit, he laughed. I'm inured, considering my occupation. Do you know what I really do for a living, Walt? Run the state. I make deals. That's what governing is. Giving a little, getting a little. I stuffed my hands in the pockets of my jeans and said nothing. He looked around the arena like it was the ruin of a fallen city. I liked the competition, I have to admit, but I was young and not quite sure of what it was I wanted to do with my life. Then I met Carol and started figuring things out. I nodded and threw him a bone. A woman can do that to your life, raise the stakes. You're married, aren't you, Walt? Widowed. Oh. He looked at the dirt he'd just dropped. I suppose I should have known that, huh? No reason. He took a deep breath and looked around. You're a highly visible man in the state. So are you. He shook his head. Oh, no. I'm just a lame duck governor, looking to get out of office before I find some way to step on my dick and screw things up. How would you do that? I don't know. Maybe having a highly publicized pissing match with a legendary sheriff over a case that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. I sighed. I don't think you have that much to worry about. The Honorable Judge Snowden thinks I'll end up looking like a vindictive prick, I think, were the words he used. Well, then he doesn't know Wyoming. Maybe, but he knows the law. Wally turned his head and focused on me with a practiced smile. The law is the last thing I'm concerned with here. I tried to smile back, but it wouldn't take. So I just stood there looking at him. I suppose Joe Mayer told you how I feel about people telling me how to do my job. He has. And I've got the same attitude. The question is, whose job is this? Well, it was mine, I'm the one who arrested him.
Yes. And it was the state and people of Wyoming that found him guilty, sentenced him, and incarcerated him for a multitude of lifetimes.
The governor nodded and walked past me toward the chutes.
You know, a lot of people claim my allegiances are to corporate interests rather than to the people. Well, I could make some sort of overture by commuting a death sentence as my swan song, but since no one is currently awaiting execution, and we haven't performed one since 19...